Welcome back.
It's all bad.
There ain't no joy like a fat butt boy with Matt LeGrand.
As you might have noticed, there's no more ads on this show. And that's possible because of Patreon and guys like you and gals. So please subscribe on Patreon. We got special gift for you, and tell a friend.
Welcome back to It's All Bad.
What up? I'm Danny.
What up? I'm Reno.
Hey, I'm Matt.
Matt LeGrand.
Matt LeGrand.
And that's Keith.
I'm the minimum wager.
That's good.
That is good.
I'm Matt the Big. That was my name on everything for a while. And then people kept, like, I had, back in the day when I had Snapchat, and it was Matt the Big, and everyone was like, oh, okay. You know, because they thought it was my dick. And I was like, my last name literally is LeGrand. It just means the big.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be clever.
I didn't even never think about that. Your last name is the Big.
The Big.
LeGrand.
Yeah. Matt the Large.
Love that.
Well, was it French name?
Yeah.
Well, today I was Rodeo Reno because I had to take a trip across town to Beverly Hills. Oof. To pop into a couple of accounts, and I shot a pic to the crew from Easy Rodeo Reno.
No.
I didn't realize, like, oh shit, yeah, I got the Tom Fords on and everything. Like, I was out there fronting for sure.
Nice. Do you guys have stores over there?
No, I have a couple of retailers that I work with that have stores over there. So I was just going by and popping by a couple of them, check in and stuff. Get out from behind the computer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Shoe City.
Okay,
Shoe City.
Zodies.
This is
WSS, WSS, you know?
Yeah. Just a few hot spots. Yeah.
Yeah. This is so random. I don't even know if this is worth talking about on the podcast, but I just joined Equinox, which I can't afford, but I joined
it. You can't even pronounce it right.
Equinox? Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I can't even afford to pronounce it. But Ryan goes and Tucker goes, and I just wanted to, like, some camaraderie, and I feel like a fat bitch, and I have, like, A cups right now. So, anyways.
That's bullshit though, listener. My man Matt's jacked, bro. Yeah. Look at that arm. Right
there.
Twisted steel and
my
sex
arms
appeal.
Jiggle when I brush my teeth. And that's kind of my does everyone do that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Do yours, right. Danny?
No, Reno's.
Okay.
Ours don't.
Yeah. What do they call it?
If everyone does it, then I'm fine.
They call it teacher arm.
No,
you know,
bingo arms.
Bingo arms.
Mine don't. No,
why bingo arms?
You know, bingo.
Oh, that's
good.
So funny.
But so someone posted a screenshot and was like, I'm taking this class tomorrow. I think Ryan did. And the instructor of the class is a girl I went to college with's older sister. I went to this tiny private Christian college where, like, every
Liberty
semester,
University?
My parents met at Liberty University.
No, no shit.
No way.
My mom was Jerry Falwell's press secretary.
No way. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's insane.
I went to Wheaton College, which, like, jokingly, everyone calls it the Harvard of Christian schools.
Okay.
And then you, like, go somewhere else, and people are like, oh, I just went to Harvard.
Like, where's Wheaton? Where's Wheaton located?
It's, like, 20 minutes from Chicago.
Nice.
But basically, it's, like, where everyone sends their kids if they want them to go to a Christian university instead of an Ivy League.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I wasn't that smart, but my roommate, he was, like, accepted to MIT for engineering.
Holy
my other
shit.
Roommate was accepted to Juilliard for piano.
Wow.
And neither of their parents would pay for college unless they went to a Christian college.
Oh, wow.
So they went to Wheaton.
Wow.
So
it's
dope.
That kind of thing. Liberty has, like, a 99.5 acceptance rate. Like, there's just, like...
Yeah, it's just a money pit. Yeah, for sure.
Is it still running?
It's fucking crazy.
Dude,
huge.
I think it's the biggest school in America.
Wow.
Because they also have an online thing too.
Right.
Yeah, but my mom was
Listen to that podcast about Jerry Falwell Jr.?
Dude, I ate that shit
that
up.
That was so fucking good, dude.
Also,
it was,
like,
so good.
It's so funny too because, like, if they weren't Christians and if he wasn't that head, for those of you who don't know Jerry Falwell, he, like, actually helped create the parody laws in unintentionally because do you guys know this?
No.
Was it Hustler?
Oh, Hustler Magazine.
Hustler Magazine made, like, a comic about Jerry Falwell, who's this huge Christian leader, and there were, like, all these girls, like, sucking his dick or something, but it was a comic, and that Jerry Falwell took him to court
It was in the movie, The People versus Larry Flynn. Yeah. It was a mock booze ad on the back page, and it was like a Jack Daniels ad, and it was like Jerry Falwell talks about his first time, and like it was like a whole fuck story.
So, I guarantee you, Alan did that.
Oh yeah, for sure. One of our former guests was he was the editor at Hustler. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Oh, right on.
He was the guy under.
Yeah.
Larry.
Oh, yeah.
Was he depicted in the movie at all? Any of the cast of characters?
I don't remember because I didn't know him then.
Yeah.
But probably. Yeah.
Probably was. But anyways, from that, like the parody laws were established because
to say it's a parody on the front, like the pornos do, right? When you see like a Brady
Star
Bunch
Wars
porno.
Parody.
Yeah
I love the, I'm upset. I have a whole folder on my phone of SpongeBob porn. And when I'm on planes or at restaurants, I'll go to, what is it, AirDrop? And I'll just start sending SpongeBob porn.
What's fucked up now is so like now there's a new thing where you can't just like be airdropping everybody. It's weird. It's like a new where like you have to turn on your airdrop to accept from people you don't know. Like it's, you can't just it's very recent.
I think you can. I haven't done it in a minute.
Was it you who was dropping them at all the meetings? Who was that? Remember that?
I did it at one meeting and then like Horace publicly called me out. Nuh-uh. And he was like, hey, stop sending stuff and get off your phone. I was like, how'd you know I sent it, bitch? Because you're on your phone.
I would change my name to other people, like my phone name to somebody else, and then I would go airdrop like fucking out of pocket shit.
My phone name is Hillary Clinton.
I would change mine.
Wait, is that former Senator Hillary Clinton or presidential candidate Hillary Clinton? Did you ever see that scene in that movie? That was just a really funny, where they're all dressed up as Hillary Clinton for Halloween. What is that, Neighbors? Neighbors Part 2. Did you ever see that?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Anyway,
no.
If you haven't seen it.
Sounds I'm going like to change classic. My iPhone name to Horace, and I'm going to go and fucking
That's
hit
so
everybody
funny.
At Monday night.
You have to be like
or
an ex-person that did fraud like Danny to be able to like go in there and fucking rename shit and make up fake email addresses. Yeah. And I'm always you could do that?
I'm so fucked because I was at Equinox, that's how you pronounce it today, and they have Kiehl's like shampoo and body wash in their bathroom. And my first thought, of course, is I'm gonna bring Tupperware and I'm gonna fucking fill that up with Kiehl's.
I'm getting my money's
worth. And then I was like, can I do that in sobriety? And I was like, no, Matt, what the? And then my brain was like, I don't trust God enough that I could afford Kiehl's in my life. You know, like I'm gonna be filling up Tupperware with it. And then God's like, if you just like didn't do that and like were an honest person, you'd probably make enough money to make. To buy Kiehl's.
To afford Le Labo.
You know, my highest thing is like one day, like it's beyond my imagination that I could afford Kiehl's body wash.
Just go to Nordstrom during the anniversary sale and you can get a fucking bottle of each one for $16.95.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. They always go on sale for that.
All right, I'll be there.
You know what? You're setting the bar low. You got to go Aesop, you know?
Oh, that's well, where, who like, has Aesop?
So you will. Oh, what gym?
I'll switch gyms. Probably Pharaoh's because everyone there is fucking gay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you guys, have you ever been to Pharaoh's?
No.
That's the one on Glendale Boulevard, right?
Yeah, I believe so. No, lots of gays go there.
Really?
Yeah, they probably got Aesop.
Where Coach Throbert works at.
Throbert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throbert.
He's handsome.
That's his name? He is Throbert?
Yeah. Robert. His name's Robert. His Instagram, I think, is Throbber. Yeah, right. He's great. I've known him. God, he's a bartender at the Eagle, and that's where I did like most of my drinking.
He really? Must kill it there.
Is he still a bartender there?
Yeah. No, he loves it.
I went to a party at the Eagle years ago, you know, and I saw him there, and then I spoke for him at a thing, and he asked me to speak at a meeting. And I spoke for him, and then I was like, hey, I was like, just kind of joking. I was like, hey, let me get one of those staff Eagle fucking shirts, you know? And he was like, what size are you? So I have an Eagle bartender staff shirt.
Awesome. Yeah. Nice. Right on.
Yeah. Where's the Eagle in Echo Park?
No, it's in Silver Lake. It's literally two doors down from Erewhon.
Yeah.
Where we were. If you just go down that strip on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Huh.
Yeah, and they have the blue and white stripes, and it looks like it's a Blue Lives Matter flag on the side of their building, but it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like some leather flag, but it's so funny.
It's between Jimmy the Mechanic and fucking an Erewhon.
Your old treatment
exactly,
center.
Yeah, my
okay.
old
work,
yeah. Uh-huh.
There?
Right there, yeah.
Oh.
On the east. West, south side of south, I don't fucking
Hoover
know.
Hoover and Santa Monica Boulevard. Yeah. Yeah.
Fault Line was down the street, RIP, and now we got the Eagle.
Your parents went to Liberty University?
Yeah, they met there. My
that's
mom,
fucking crazy.
My mom was a professor and my dad was her student.
You know,
that's what?
Wait, I just realized.
You just grazed over.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Wait, did you hear what he just said?
Yeah. Your dad was your mom's teacher?
No.
My mom was my dad's teacher.
Yeah. How many years difference?
No, she's just 1 year older than him. He was like way old because he like...
started late.
They both got saved at like Billy Graham like rallies or whatever. Yeah. But my dad got saved later. And so I don't think he started his undergrad until he was like 24.
Right, right.
So he was like way older, yeah.
That's but that old school.
You know, Matt didn't grow up in America. Are you hip to that?
No.
Oh,
really?
Tell him about your childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always jealous that he's fucking Ukrainian Danny. Why am I not Indonesian Matt? I actually lived there.
Did you? What
I was
country?
Born in Ukraine.
Were you?
Yeah.
How long did you live there?
Till I was 7.
All right, I lived there till I was 17.
Damn.
Danny just lost his handle.
No, but you're actually Ukrainian, though, right? Blood-wise.
Yeah. Dude,
yeah, my parents moved to Indonesia. So my parents went to Liberty University. Neither of their families are Christian. They're first-generation evangelical, born-again Christians. And they wanted to go to the furthest place on Earth that had the most... They call it UPGs, unreached people groups, people who haven't heard the gospel.
No way.
Because
a
lot of born-again Christians believe that Jesus can't come back until, you know, every nation and every tongue has heard the gospel. So it's literally, they literally have like Excel, like spreadsheets of like, this people group hasn't heard this people. And once they finish that, then Jesus can come back.
Oh, that's
how far along are they on the...
I think they got a few more years.
My
dad has a book about it and he gave me a copy of it. But so Indonesia has the most unreached people groups. It's thousands of islands. But they moved there in the 80s and then I was born in the 90s. And yeah, I lived there my whole life until I was 17.
Do you speak the language and shit?
Indonesian, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Bahasa Indonesia. I think technically it was my first language.
Wow, what a trip.
So were people like talking in tongues and all that shit when you went to church?
The church I went to growing up, that wasn't really a thing. But when I went to college at Wheaton, I went to an... that's like more charismatic churches.
Yeah.
And there was the whole thing where like people fly onto the floor and you have to lift them up and stuff. And it was, I don't know, a lot of theatrics.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
Did you grow up religious at all, Danny?
I was born Jewish.
I
was born Jewish, baptized in the Russian Orthodox Church. Came here as a Jewish, as like a Jewish refugee after the fall of the Soviet Union. Went to Jewish summer camp here, went to Sundays to Russian Orthodox Sunday school. Then my mom started practicing Kabbalah. My dad started, my parents split up. My mom started practicing Kabbalah. My dad started practicing Buddhism. So I've done it all.
Islam?
Not yet. The night's still young. Yeah.
Is that what they primarily? No, in Indonesia they practice.
No, it's Islam. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
And Indonesia is also the fourth most populated country in the world.
Wait a minute, but I went to Bali for my honeymoon.
Bali is a blue dot in Indonesia.
Meaning
so
it's
Bali is half Hindu, half Buddhist.
Yes.
Every other place in Indonesia is Muslim.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so Bali is like a very unique part of Indonesia.
And where were you? Where?
I was in Bandung, which is a city in Java's the main island.
Uh-huh. Right.
Java... I was like trying to figure out like how to communicate like how densely populated it is there. So Java has over 200 million people. How many people are in America? Like 350 million or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Java has over 200 million people and it's the size of Florida.
Are you fucking
kidding me? No way.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like I remember when we came to the States one summer, I'm driving with my mom in the car and we're like driving down like a freeway in Florida and there was no one on the roads and I like looked at my mom and I was like, "Did the rapture happen?"
No. Because
I've never
277 million people as of 2023.
Wow. In Java or where?
In Java, yeah.
Wow.
That might be the whole country of Indonesia. I don't know, but...
No, Java is the world's 13th largest island. Yeah.
277...
Wait a minute. 148 million people. Yeah, there are more humans that live on Java than within the entirety of Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, take that, Danny.
Dude, the best is we had Daniel on last week.
And oh,
Daniel
my God.
Showed up, he goes...
Where's Ukrainian or Russian? Where's Soviet Danny?
Who said that?
Were you not on the podcast with Daniel?
No, I was Daniel. Here, yeah, I was here, yeah.
Oh, Daniel.
Damn, he is my favorite person.
He's hilarious.
He's so great.
He's so funny. He's I have a list of quotes that he said in my phone.
Oh,
and I can't repeat any of them.
Yeah. I was just thinking about repeating one that he said, and I'm like, I can't.
No, he's the best.
Reno gets canceled for repeating something.
Totally. Fucking hilarious. He's the truth. That guy's the truth.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, Indonesia is so insanely densely populated. Yeah, and I grew up there my whole life.
People were friendly, fun, chill, cool, or no?
People are so nice there. It's amazing. So I'm 30 now, and I haven't been back to Indonesia one time. So I haven't been back in 13 years.
Really?
Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Your folks aren't there though, right?
My parents spend half the year there and half the year in the States now.
And are they still evangelicals?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, more than ever. But they're pretty incredible people. Like we have a very when the Trump shit happened in 2016, I got like I knew nothing about American politics, or I'll reframe that. My mom was my U.S. history teacher in Indonesia, and I was taught that when segregation was over, that's like racism ended in America. And my mom's favorite president was always Ronald Reagan, and I just like had this very like conservative understanding of America. So when I moved here, like I was so confused. Like that there were still issues or whatever. And anyways, when 2016 happened and Trump was running for president and people were getting all like fired up, that was the first time I paid attention to U.S. politics because I really didn't have any idea. And then like this whole like I was like, wait, Al Gore was going to be president, but George Bush won and my parents voted for Bush. And I like had like this meltdown because I like thought my whole life that George Bush was like the best guy on earth, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I remember being in those circles because they voted. They're like expatriates.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if this is too hard to follow. Anyways, no, I had like a total meltdown during the 2016 election because I was like basically realizing that everything I had learned growing up was like not the full picture.
Yeah, right.
So my mind was fucking spinning.
Culture shock.
I guess so, but not just culture shock. It was more like, you know, basically like my parents have lied to me my whole life, you know, like
right.
I thought like all like, I don't know.
Everything became super fanatical. I mean, that whole time period, you look back, it was just so gassed up. Not that it wasn't insane and not that Trump isn't a fucking insane person, but everything was so exaggerated and dramatic.
It was so tense. Everyone was on edge. And that was like the peak of like, whoa, everyone in America is now on social media is screaming at each other.
Dude, yeah, it was crazy. I got on fucking meds during all that shit.
So anyways, my parents would like text me stuff about Trump and like how like Hillary Clinton is an awful person or whatever. And I would be having a great day and then I would get a text from them and I would lose my fucking mind.
Yeah.
And then it would like go into all this like lashing out. So I sent them an email during that time and I was like, hey, I'm not capable of loving you guys right now, so I'm going to completely cut you off.
I
cut them off on every level. And because up until that time, like I'd come out to them, but they wouldn't accept it. My dad would still be like, hey, Kelly from your childhood's going to be in town. You guys should get dinner or whatever. And I'm like, does Kelly have a dick now? Like, you know, so I cut them off. And then like a year later, I hit them up and I was like, hey, if you guys want to be in my life, like my friends are like encouraging, supportive. I'm completely honest with them. And if you guys want to be my friends, like I want to be honest with you guys about stuff. I'm not going to hide anything. And they're like, we want to be your friends, which is really like, I would say
huge.
Remarkable of them.
Fuck yeah,
because like I have a very honest, I still have so many gay friends where like, they don't, you know, it's just a don't ask, don't
friends
tell policy
from
in their
back
house
then and stuff that still can't tell their
even
people.
No friends out here, like gay friends who just like, you know, they, when they go home, they just like don't talk about their lives. Really.
Right.
And I'm like, I would rather not have a relationship with someone than have that, you know,
yeah,
someone that is like my family, you know, 'cause that's not that, like, it's just not an honest relationship.
My sister went les for like one Thanksgiving. Like, I mean, maybe it was a little longer than that, you know, but she was like,
she went lesbian for one Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Yeah, more or less, you know. I mean, she was, you know, they were right experimental. She brought her girlfriend home for fucking...
for Turkey Day.
And my stepdad, and like I have a very complicated, I don't even know if I've ever talked about this. So my mom and my stepdad, my mom used to be best friends with my stepdad's ex-wife.
Okay.
So my sister and I were like homies, we grew up, whatever. My parents split up, her parents split up. I found out that my mom started dating her old best friend's husband. Like it was like crazy, you know, it was all this drama. So my sister brings home her girlfriend to our Thanksgiving dinner. She's like, oh, I'm going to bring my, you know, who I'm dating. I can't wait for you guys to meet them. And we're like stoked, you know? And she's like, I forget the girl's name. You know, she was rad. I think we're still friends on Facebook, you know? And I was like, oh, what's up?
Probably like
you
Badger. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, what's Badger. Up? You know? And my Scout. Stepdad comes out and he goes, who's this? And she's like, oh, this is my girlfriend, you know? And he like started laughing, like to the point where he was like, come on. He's like, really? Like, come on. Like, literally, like, was like in tears laughing. He was like, that's the funniest joke I've ever heard.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, my sister was so embarrassed. Yeah.
And then she stopped being a lesbian.
And then she was so embarrassed that she switched back. You know, that she switched back.
Damn.
Yeah. When did you, like, were you an adult when you told your parents when you came out?
I did the whole like bisexual thing, which was like a fucking lie. But I was 19. I was in college, and I slowly was like, hey, I am attracted to men and women. And, you know, that was like an easier blow because it's like, hey, like I could still have a relationship. I could still be married and have kids. And there's like such a, it's not even just Christian culture. It's like, you know, family values in general. There's something where like once you're married, your parents can like have a sigh of relief, you know, and they're like, he's a fully formed human.
Totally.
And, you know, I still have like feelings of like shame around that. We're like, I can't wait to be married one day to be, you know, that we all have that thing where it's like you want to like present yourself to your dad like on a podium and be like, look, I'm a fully formed human now. And it's like that moment never happens.
I mean, that's not real. You know, that's the thing is like I was in New York at the midnight meeting and I heard this gay man, Italian, big, buff, good looking, been through a lot of shit, though. He had drug addict parents and Sharon from the thing. And he was talking about like, he had a lot of shame around being gay. It was heavy, and he went through it, and just like all this stuff, and being a meth addict, and all he'd seen, you know, and everything else, and you know, and he was sharing about it and stuff, and what he really wants out of life. He's been sober a long time. He wants connection. He wants a relationship, and all this kind of stuff. And this dude at the end, this old guy that was sitting there, didn't even look like he was really paying attention. He goes, "You know what, man?" When he shared, he goes, "You're beautiful. That was so amazing. You opened up and gave us everything. But stop it. You live in New York City. You could fucking get married and have four fucking daughters if you want to. You know what I mean? And like, that's the truth, right? I mean, you could get married and
have children.
I thought
he was going to stop him and be like, listen, that's a beautiful story. What the hell does that have to do with alcoholism? Like, he's like sharing at an AA meeting. And it's just about him being gay.
But it was just like, you know, he's just like, he said it so beautifully and eloquently. It was cool.
He sounds hot as hell. I'll marry him.
The dude, yeah, he's a hairdresser dude. Like,
oh, I'm out. I'm just kidding.
He was like basically like if the situation was like a little buffer and gay.
A little buffer than the situation?
Yeah. He was big. This guy was big boy.
Okay. He's like a Vin Diesel.
He was the situation like, who's sober.
Is he?
Finally, yeah.
He's been sober for years.
Oh,
he went
damn.
To prison, right?
I don't know. He got out sober. But I think he's like clean. He's like he's an NA guy.
Is he publicly sober?
Publicly sober. We'll post it on his Instagram.
Right on. Good for the situation. Yeah. No, that's a situation I'm proud of. Yeah. Okay.
Can you tell us about when you started partying?
Partying?
Yeah. Drinking, drugging.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because partying, I'm sure you know this, partying in the gay community means meth.
Do you know that? I didn't know that. No.
Okay. Because people message.
Why would I know?
you mean P and P?
Y'all have done gay shit. Yeah.
You mean the guy that's speaking at Hollywood Squares? That's the main speaker at Hollywood Squares this Saturday?
Nuh-uh.
Why would I know that?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Slide through.
Yeah. So. This is literally how I found that out. So when I first moved to LA, I moved here during my last semester of college, and I was doing a Christian film studies program.
Oh, wow.
And we were learning how to be like a light in the industry. And like, I moved out here so like I could be gay, basically.
They sent the closeted gay kid to fucking Hollywood to bring like, the light of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like, you're going to go like be on a set of like a Darren Aronofsky movie and people are going to like come to Jesus just by the way you're acting or whatever. Anyways, I'm on the dating apps. I got a smartphone for the first time during my first week in LA.
Oh, shit. You didn't have a smartphone the whole time
you
were at Wheaton?
And so I wasn't using like Grindr or Scruff or any of that. So I get on Scruff, which is like another version of Grindr for like I guess hairy guys, but I get on Scruff and a guy messages me and he said, hey, do you party? And I was like, hell yeah, I party. You know, like I'm like, and I'm a Christian kid who's never done anything.
You're thinking like drink Robitussin and fucking.
No, I just thought it was like a Hollywood guy being like, do you party? And like I'm like, yeah, like I party, whatever. So I go to his place. And he's like some Hollywood producer. Literally in my mind, I'm like, damn, this is how it happens. I'm going to go to this producer's house. I'm going to have drinks. They're going to like cast me in a movie. Like, whatever.
Yeah. I'll be the next Danny Trejo.
Exactly. Have a donut shop one day. Be the guest on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
So I get to the guy's place, and they're like, meet us in the back pool house. So I go to the pool house, and there's seven guys sitting on a couch jerking off to porn. And
this is your first
week in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
And
dude.
When I'm there, they're all they're like, hey, do you smoke? And I was like, yeah, sure, I smoke. I think I had smoked pot one time before that. So they pass me a bowl. I hit the bowl, whatever. And I am fucking like on one. And then they're like, do you want to do some G? And I'm like, what's G? And they're like, oh, it's just like, they're like, it like relaxes you. And I was like, sure, I'll try it. So I'm doing G and I'm like so horny and so fucking wired. And I was like, what is this that we're smoking? And they're like, it's tea. And I was like shroom tea? Like, and they're like, no, it's tea. And I was like, what is tea? And they're like, Tina. And I'm like, what is Tina? And they're like crystal meth. And I looked at the guy and I was like Breaking Bad? and I had no idea, but it was like my second time doing drugs in my life. And when you're raised without any knowledge of drugs, like.
Because there's none in Indonesia. Right.
It's the death penalty.
Yeah,
that's so wild.
But when you're raised not even because of Indonesia, because I'm sure people still do drugs there. You know what I mean? It was more the conservative Christian thing,
right?
But like when you hear the term drugs, it's all the same. Like, you know, today, like if I hear someone does like coke, weed, shrooms, that's so different than someone doing heroin and meth. You know, we know like the difference, but in my mind, drugs is drugs.
Uh-huh.
So I'm smoking meth with all these guys.
They all got their dicks in their hands.
Yeah. And everyone's limp as hell. People are what, like you can't get, you get crystal dick. You can't get hard when you're smoking meth, but like gay guys love to do GHB and meth. Cause it makes you like, cause you're so wide awake and then you're super horny and everything feels good. So I'm like, what happens from there? A guy starts getting fucked in the ass in front of everyone.
So someone got a hard dick then.
Yeah. No, literally it's like everyone in a circle waiting for one guy to actually get hard so like people can like sit on his dick or whatever. So the owner of the house starts having sex with this like tiny cheerleader. He was like, I don't know why I remember that. He was a cheerleader from Texas and he was visiting. No, he was from New Orleans. But they're having sex and they're like going to town and we're like all just watching it. Time is flying by. Like I've been there for like 3 hours now. We've just been watching this guy have sex forever. And then he's like, I'm going to come. And when he starts coming, he falls out of the guy onto the floor and just starts convulsing.
Oh my God.
And he's like sitting there on the floor shaking like crazy.
No way.
And we're just, and like we're all just like watching and like we're on meth and we're like, this is awesome. And the guy who had invited me there, or one of the other guys, his name is Paul. Anyways, he picks the guy up and the guy, he looks at all of us and he goes, where am I? He has no idea where he is. And the guys are like, oh, sorry, he's been up for like 5 days now. This is the owner of the house. So
and the house was amazing, big.
I was in the pool house. The pool house was like nicer than any house I've been in. But they take him back to the main house, and then we just shut the door and we all just continue. So the owner of the house is now sleeping after convulsing after coming, and we're back in the pool house going at it. I've never, this is like so much information, but this was like my first week in LA. I've never bottomed before. I didn't really understand bottoming. The guy who had helped him in, who was like Taylor Swift's makeup artist on her Speak Now tour, takes me into the bathroom and is like, I'm going to teach you how to douche. And then like, he teaches me how to douche in the bathroom. And then like, I'm standing there for the next 4 hours waiting for someone to get hard so I can get fucked for the first time. Wow. And that's not happening. I have my internship the next day at a talent management company at 10 a.m. It's now 9 a.m. I'm with three guys, and we're all jerking our dicks to this porn. And, like, have you ever done G and meth?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I like that you're – it's all just – all the questions are directed towards
me. I don't know. I think it's just because I'm across from you. But, like, you know when you're doing G and meth, if you're jerking off, it feels like every – like you're about to come.
Yeah, it feels like
you're edging the whole time.
Crazy.
So I kept being like, as soon as I come, I'm going to go to work. As soon as I come, I'm going to go to work. And my dick starts bleeding.
Oh.
And so does the guy next to me. And so my hands are full of blood, and I still haven't
come. You can't stop.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I didn't know what to do. So I call the manager, like the guy who hired me for the internship, and I tell him I have a flat tire and that I'm going to be late to work. And I stay there until like 10:30, and then I finally like give up, and I just go straight to the internship from this pool house.
Did you wrap your dick in gauze? Like,
No. I think I just showered, rinsed it off. I don't know what I did. I probably had like, it wasn't bleeding, like splurting blood, right. You know, right. It was just like blisters and shit. Mm. But then I just like go to work. And
it's
dick's
an incredibly resilient thing though. It does come back. It does heal up pretty quick. You get a nice long nap and maybe one night of sleep.
I do. This is non sequitur, but I do think about like how lucky uncut guys are, because I'm chafing like the actual dick. If you're uncut, are you uncut?
I'm uncut, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, once again, your boy. Yeah.
I know these guys are cut, right? Okay. I don't know why I know that. I just had a sense. But I'm chafing the actual dick. You know what I mean? If you're uncut, you have a protective layer.
So if you're uncut, then you just kind of roll the skin back and forth across the dick.
Yeah, but like their actual shaft is always protected.
I just realized that right now. That's crazy.
Anyways, that was anticlimactic. But I go to the internship. I'm high as hell. And
wait, let him keep going. But you said, when I heard you tell the story before, you said like you went out to have a cigarette in the middle of the night. You're like, here's how fucked up meth is. You're like, this is going on, and what did you say to yourself?
No, I remember walking outside, and I lit up a Parliament. The guy had just gone into the house after having a seizure, and I just, like, look out as the sun rising, and I was like, man, life is incredible. Like, and I really felt that way.
That's meth. That's
like, you feel like you're on top of the world.
So foul. Yeah.
It's so wild.
Well, you were. I mean, you were on top of the world that
morning. I
know.
I was about to be cast in Fast.
I was at the top of the
Fast and the Furious. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then I, like, dude, yeah, it was so wild. I literally, like, I forgot when I was at the pool house, I literally, like, texted my buddy, and I go, dude, like, this is before they explained to me. I was like, dude, the weed in LA is crazy. And I was like, I am high as hell. And he was like, damn, like, how do you feel? And I was like, I am wired. I was like, I'm going to be up for a long time. And he's like, dude, that's not weed. But I was so excited to be like, damn, California weed or whatever.
Did you stay up for like 2 days?
I was up until like, no, at midnight that night I crashed.
Okay.
'Cause I think I smoked a few bowls. But then, like, I didn't smoke anymore, you know? I went to the internship.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, I think I was smoking a ton of weed at that time. So I smoked. I got back. Like, I just moved to LA, and everyone, like, in the program was smoking weed. So and weed makes me fall asleep immediately.
Yeah.
So I had weed to go to sleep. But I was very meticulous about it. Like, I was like, I'm going to stay up until, like, 9 p.m., and I'm going to smoke weed because I know that will make me go to sleep, and then I can start fresh the next day, you know? And then... Yeah.
Oh, so you continued to use speed after that day and like intermittently or whatever?
I use speed. It's so funny that you guys call it speed. But
he partied. All right.
What do you call it? Tina?
Partied.
Is that what you call it?
I guess they crystal. But yeah, no, yeah. They call it Tina. But I just always thought meth. Speed was something different. But in the 80s and 90s, you guys just called it speed.
Right? Speed, yeah, dope.
They started calling it Tina because, you know, a lot of time you buy a 16th,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they would put it on Craigslist. Remember that? Like yeah. Tina's coming.
Tina, they would put Tina Turner tickets. You know?
Oh yeah.
Or
yeah
Tina
yeah.
Turner reunion tour. Yeah. And then heroin is roofing tar. You know? So yeah. It's like different quantities.
Broken
of,
windows. Yeah. Windows and roofing yeah. tar.
Oh, they're interesting. Yeah.
Ladders, Xanax. You know, footballs is also Xanax, but like the okay. the smaller ones, not yeah. the fucking 4 milligrams.
Yeah, you could buy that shit. You can't yeah. anymore, but yeah.
Oh, because the pill is shaped oh. like a football.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's blue, right?
Uh-huh.
That's so funny. I thought it was called Molly because it's a girl's name. I thought, like, you know, not Molly, Tina.
Tina, yeah. Because
uh-huh. there's Tina, and then there's Molly, and then there's Mary Jane for weed.
I didn't know that
Tina
that.
Was
what is
called...
this, 1976? Mary Jane. He lands in California Mary from Jane. Weed. He's oh. like, you know, hey, I can get any yeah. Mary Jane.
Wait, that's so funny. I just was, like, looking at an article by, like, Ranker or whatever. Do you guys know Ranker?
No.
It's like 10 things you didn't know that Martin Scorsese keeps in his fridge. It's, like, retarded articles. And but one of them was, like, subliminal, things that went over your head in the show Scooby-Doo. And Shaggy's girlfriend's name is Mary Jane.
Oh, no shit.
In the comic. And I never realized. And he exits the van and there's smoke and stuff. Like, he was a total stoner.
They're always trying to eat. They're oh, yeah. always
and they're
trying
like,
to fucking
just,
eat.
Just like yeah. Snoopy, uh-huh, Scooby yeah. snacks became, like, you know, as a kid, I never picked yeah. up on that stuff. It's so funny.
I didn't either. The fucking mystery either. Machine. They're driving around in a fucking VW bus with all flower
yeah,
power
I never
and
even,
shit. Yeah.
yeah, no, totally. I never yeah. even thought about
Light
it.
Like Scoob. Always looking to make a big ass sandwich yeah. and shit.
I didn't pick up on that 70s show either. The whole time they're sitting around the table, they're smoking weed in the basement.
Yeah.
I'm sure yeah. you. Okay. I had no idea.
Just got convicted for like 2 counts of rape. That
Who did?
Danny Masterson.
Yeah, that's
so
sucks.
Crazy.
He's in jail.
Wait, the dude with the fucking curly hair? Yeah.
What was his name on the show?
He was a DJ too. DJ Mom Jeans or Matt?
Yes.
Like, yeah,
yes.
right. Yeah.
It's you know, it's hard to like really comment on the situation, but the stuff he was accused for was from like 2008, and he's like married now and has kids, and so it's like 15 plus years later.
And he was like a party. Like I remember him because he like DJed at AM's fucking nightclub.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
when we were
yeah.
going, yeah. He was like a cool, like, you know, like, fuck, I didn't yeah. hear about that.
Him and Brent Boldhouse had a radio show on.
Really?
And fucking, yeah. And he had a store right here in Los Feliz called Confederacy.
That's
it was like
right.
a cool
that was
boutique.
His store?
Yeah, it was a cool boutique
Damn.
And stuff. And
it was cool. They had cool shit in it. Really cool
wow,
shit.
Wow, I didn't know he was that involved. I used to go to a gym, the same gym as him. And like everyone from Entourage, it was so weird.
Weird.
And they're all really short except Adrian Grenier. like, yeah, Turtle, and then the other guy who was like more handsome. They're like both 5'5".
I can't stand that show.
I really? Loved that show.
Oh, Reno Wood. Good. I mean, that's yeah. like, yeah.
I, loved it.
I never got into it.
It was good.
I liked it.
I didn't
it was,
get
you know,
it.
I liked it.
It was cool, man. Yeah. It was
Wait,
cool.
can I just ask? This is not off topic. How have you always had that voice?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten a little bit more raspy.
Do you guys talk about this every episode?
No.
It's gotten a little bit more raspy in the last few years. But, ever since I went through puberty, it got really deep. And, it probably didn't help that I smoked meth and heroin off tinfoil and shit for God
you know
knows how
kinda,
long.
You know who kind of had a Reno-ish voice? You missed it. You may remember Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Flo had Joe like Flo? A... Yes. His voice was like, you know, he had like
this
a...
This is the thing that's kind of fucking me up right now yeah. because he had a surgery, Joe Flo,
yeah,
to
man.
Remove some nodules from his vocal cords. And now he has... How's his voice now, Danny?
Oh, hey, what's up, man? Oh, hey. Keith, what's up? Oh,
yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on, guys.
That's so good.
And
I've done it to him. He goes... I was like, oh, what up, Joe? And he's like, wait, just do my voice? And I was like, no.
Right, man.
You used to get him at fucking Tyler Ashe's meeting on Tuesday nights and shit.
Nuh-uh.
Totally.
Damn, that is so funny.
But yeah. I've been told by someone else, like, yeah, that's why it's like that. It's because there's like nodules on your vocal cords. And I've had it looked at and they say it's not, but.
Do you get approached by like casting directors for like voiceover work. I mean, it's like there, insane.
Here and there, I have, but no one that could ever like help me really do shit. I got on one other podcast. I did some reading of some podcast. I got paid for it. Like, I just had to read this letter. It was a weird thing. It was like a podcast about some shit that happened. Do you know that there's like that super crazy arm of the Greenpeace that's like the fucking Marines that are like, they're like out to like sink whaling ships and shit. And they're led by that dude with the white hair and the crazy beard.
I did not know.
Danny and I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
They're called, they had a show.
From 1962
or something. They had a reality show about them.
Yeah. Anyway, I've gotten hit up and my reaction is always the same. Like, if you can help me out to do it, like, you know,
right,
what I mean?
But you're
I'm
not
down.
Putting in the effort.
Well, I mean, I would put in the effort, but like what I hear, and I've done some like investigation and stuff, and I've done a couple of workshops and stuff. But from what I hear, it's like it's as hard as trying to be an actor. Like, you literally have to just like train and go on auditions. And I have a family and I have a career.
The reality is with voice act, number one, it's a very tight knit community. Number two, like most of them do several different voices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, and, I've heard it's... Oh, go ahead, Danny.
No, go ahead.
I've heard that's a big thing recently where they started using name actors.
Yeah,
totally.
Celebs.
And that's like a big controversy.
That was going to be my next thing was because I did, for a time, I worked for another shoe company and I was like hooking everybody up at CAA. And I got in pretty good there and they were like, yeah, you need to talk to somebody in voiceovers or whatever. And I talked to the guy and he was just like, all they want is like fucking Scarlett Johansson and Seth Rogen and like, because that's how the parents are like, oh, I want to go. And you know what I mean?
Oh,
plus they're
okay,
also like trained actors and they deliver like in a, but
yeah,
like
now it's like fucking it's like, Jamie Foxx and whoever else playing those dogs.
Is
you know?
Jamie Foxx out of the hospital or whatever?
I don't know.
Let's get back on topic.
Yes.
Also, I was going to say, what's the dude? Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name.
Matthew McConaughey?
No. He's in The Rooms. God. Black dude has a dog that's like Danny's dog, but one eye is missing.
Jameel?
Yeah, Jameel. You know he was one of the main voices in Hey Arnold, right?
No.
You know the black kid in Hey Arnold?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was Jameel.
No way.
I found that out recently, and I was, because Jameel's talking to me about stand-up. I mean, he's so funny naturally, and he's very charismatic, and he was like asking me questions about stand-up, and then I started talking to him. I was like, Jesus Christ, I've been watching you since I was a little kid.
He's Jack too. That motherfucker is like, oh, you see him?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw him like last week. I saw him at Stories with like fucking a cutoff, and I was like,
oh, yeah,
shit.
I could see that.
He's big.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah. Reno just looked up Hey Arnold.
I did. I've never heard.
The football, so the kid with the football head, the Xanax head.
What happened next after, you know, your first week in LA? Like, so how did the partying get out of hand? Like, do you have any story, like just weird shit happening?
That happened, and you know, I didn't have a really like that whole meth night happened, and I had no frame of reference of like what was normal and what wasn't. So I was still trying to pick up on like what was like, what were like user friendly drugs, I guess. But then it started happening more frequently where like every night people would be like, hey, do you party? This is how we started talking about it. Because they say party, P-A-R, capital T-Y.
Oh, really?
Because the T is, Tina.
What's the T with the Tina?
Yeah. So, like, in a lot of people's dating profiles now, it'll be like, and no, I don't party. Or, like, or it'll be like, I don't do anything with a capital T. Whatever. But, because I didn't even pick up on that for a minute, you know? But after that night, I told my friend, I was like, I'm never doing that again. Because he was like, listen, people don't do meth casually. Like, that's not a thing. Like, you know, there's people you respect who do coke and stuff like that. And, like, that's one thing. But, like, meth is not it.
Yeah.
Cut to, like, a week later, I'm drunk as hell. Like, I remember I would get those bottles of Rex Goliath wine. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, it has a chicken on it. And I would get, like, one of the, like, it was big bottles. It wasn't just a regular wine bottle. They were like twice the size, but I would chug half of it. And then I would like start hanging out with people. And then I would like chug the other half and I would get so drunk. And then I would get on the apps, and then a guy hit me up again, and he was like a somewhat hot dude, and he invited me to go party at his place. And so like it was like, I'll never do that again. And then, you know, I get fucked up and I'm like, I'm doing that again. I remember I got to his place and he invited this other guy over who it wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio. He looked exactly like Leonardo DiCaprio in like Romeo plus Juliet, like a barely 18-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And he was super into this guy and I was 0% attracted to him. You know, like I was like, objectively, he's like a beautiful man, like a Calvin Klein ad or something. But like I couldn't, you know. I couldn't get hard because of the meth, but I couldn't get hard because of the way he looked either. But so I just sat in his living room all night smoking meth from a bong. It was pipe thing. Uh-huh. And they were just fucking for like 8 hours.
Were you watching even, or were you just smoking meth?
I watched for a little bit, but like I was like, he had a fish tank and I was watching that.
Wait, where was the house? Was it in Hollywood?
I was living in Park La Brea at the time. Mm. And
that's a perfect place for someone to land. Yeah. This came to LA.
They're so fucked at Park La Brea. Like literally on the advertised for it, it's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame is in your backyard. And I was like, when I left like college, I was like, guys, I'm going to. I was like, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is in my backyard. And everyone, you know, you just think you're gonna be like a star or something. It's
meanwhile, it's Jack in the Box. It's in your backyard.
It's the Kmart fucking across the street.
The Britney Spears fucking thing that was in that big Kmart when it went out of business.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And my neighbor Sonar, who's growing weed in his closet. Yeah.
Sonar, that was his name?
Yeah, it was short for So Gnarly.
I was thinking it was like an Armenian name, like, you
know. It's a Turkish name, Sonar, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, this dude was black. Yeah. But, So Gnarly. Yeah, so that happened, and then it was like, again, like, I'm never doing that again. Then again, you know, I get fucked up. But I remember the last time I was like, for real, like, so it happened frequently. This is all the like first, like when I turned 21, and then like then I was like, okay, I'm not doing this again. And then I think it was like 6 months later, and I was it was New Year's Eve, and I got super I was like blackout, and I remember laying in bed and I was like about to pass out, and then a guy hit me up and he's like, hey, do you want a party? And I said, sure. And he came over to my place and we like smoked meth in my bed. And then it was like off to the races. And I remember we went to another guy's house, and like all of this is like such a like, it's, I have tunnel vision when I think about it, you know, because we went to one guy's house and we smoked there some more. And then, and I was also smoking a ton of weed too. And then we went to another guy's house, and this house, like, have you guys seen season 2 of Euphoria?
No.
Yes, I have.
Do you know when they go to the house where like they like have to strip naked or whatever?
Yes.
It was just like that reminded me
like
of that
Peckerwood,
house,
like
where it was just
shit.
Like something was real. There was an old man there. Have you ever seen the movie Suspiria, the reboot?
No.
Okay. There's this like disgusting looking like obese like. It doesn't even look like a human. It's like Alex, or it's like the Skarsgård guy in Dune. You know,
yes, yes,
that's it. So there was that guy sitting on a leather chair, and there were all these like beautiful twink boys around him, and he was butt naked, like had the, like you couldn't see his penis because like his fat was over it or whatever. And he like had one of the boys bring him a tray, and there was like. There was a needle, and then like he asked me if I wanted to shoot up, and I had I remember this from when I was at that Hollywood producer's house the first time. The guy who was Taylor Swift's makeup artist who taught me how to douche in the bathroom. The cheerleader who was getting fucked before the guy seized. He like talked about how he was like, "Do you guys slam?" And I was like, what's slamming? And they're like, that's when you like inject it in your arm. And when the guy took me to the bathroom to douche, she was like, listen to me, smoke meth all you want, never fucking shoot up. Never put a needle on your arm. And
good
that,
man, that's a good
for
man
some reason,
that
scared
that.
The
yeah.
shit out of me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm like barely functional on this couch. And he asked me if I want to shoot up. And I like, you know, that like haunted me. And so I didn't. And I remember snorting a huge line.
Where was the house?
This was like in, it had to be the Silver Lake Hills, you know, the like small section. But God, I would love to know where it is and who that man is, because it was fucking trippy. Yeah.
It sounds bizarre.
How many dudes are walking around naked?
Just the main guy was naked, and he was like very, very like could die at any point from being so overweight.
Was his name John? Do you remember?
I don't know. He was old too. He was old.
There's an old guy I was in impact with who had like that kind of shit going on.
Very old. And then like I guess,
a nice house.
Yes, very nice. And he was sitting in a leather chair at the table. It's like very like picturesque. And there were probably
so bizarre. It's like, you know, dude, he owned the house. He's got the money. He's got the drugs. Looking the way that he does, just totally like walking around naked, dick in hand, needles on a fist. Speed is the darkest fucking drug.
Yeah.
It's so gnarly. Meth is the darkest drug.
Dude, it's so. You guys watch Tiger King, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, when like everyone was like, what is going on? This guy is so crazy. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, this guy's probably on meth.
Yeah.
And then totally. And it's like, he has these three beautiful boyfriends. And like, and then they're like, found out that he was doing meth. And I'm like, oh, this is not crazy at all. I was like, this isn't even interesting.
Then you found out, that's
what. You know what I mean? Like when they revealed that, I was like, oh god, this is a dime a dozen.
The thing that blew me away though about Tiger, because I've been around tweakers, I've been in all different kinds of scenarios you could think of, and what blew me away about Tiger King is the fact that that dude could build a ranch and put up fences and finish all those projects like that high on speed. You know what I mean? Because like any tweak ranch, tweak place you've ever been to, it's all half finished, you know?
Yeah.
There'd be tigers running around fucking eating people up, like, you know what I mean? Jumping in kitchen windows and shit. Like,
yeah.
You know? But so what happens at this place? You snort a big line.
I snorted a big line.
Was it a hot rail or just a regular
line? And I remember, was it a what?
Was it a hot rail?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
I'll explain to you what a hot rail is for the listeners at home. So a hot rail is you take a tube, a glass tube, you heat up one side of it with the torch where it's like fucking flaming hot red, and then you snort a line of speed, Tina, Crystal, whatever you want to fucking
call
it.
Vaporizes.
Yeah, and it vaporizes.
Oh.
So you snort it.
You're snorting the smoke.
And then you exhale, and it's like you're like a fucking, like you get a little bit of the burn. Most of the time, if you do it right, then it kind of like, it doesn't, you know, there's no burn in it. But then like you snort the line of fucking, you snort the line of shit, and then you go to blow out, and you're like a fucking dragon. It's like, whoa, you know, like fills up.
It's pretty wild.
Cool. Yeah, it's
pretty
wild. Cool.
Not too many things get.
Don't get a fucking idea.
Yeah, that shit got my wheels turning.
I know. Like, damn, I should have tried that. I'm like, I won't shoot up, but he didn't say anything about doing hot rails. No, I remember doing that line as like a saving. It was like in order to get my ass out of this situation, like because I was worried I might do something. I was like, I saw a pile and I just snorted it to like give me some sense, you know, to wake me up.
Yeah, smart.
So, but not that smart. I mean, so we were there for a little bit longer, and there were times where I felt really in danger, and I was like, it was just a weird situation. I did not know what was going on, and like these guys who are there, like these like seven like Shawn Mendes clones walking around. you know, there's kind of a thing where it's like, why are these guys here? It doesn't feel like fully consensual or whatever. Anyways, me and the guy who brought me there, we end up leaving. And I think he was buying stuff from that guy or something or whatever. I think he got more stuff there. So we just went back to his place. And then we just started having sex all night long. And he kept going into the bathroom to shoot up. And he kept asking me, and I would just say, I'll smoke it. But we had sex all night, and we didn't have lube, and so we used sunscreen.
No.
And I remember I was working at Slater's 50-50 in Pasadena at the time. Have you guys ever been there?
No.
It is so fucking disgusting. So the guy who started it, when he was 17, they were like some glory. They were like, when he was 16 years old, he started a hot dog stand. And then he had the idea, like, what if I made a burger that's half bacon, half beef? So that's the 50-50.
What?
Anyways, it's like a build-your-own burger place. This is where I'm working in Pasadena at the time. And I'm working the brunch shift because people are going there in the morning to get the peanut butter and jelly half bacon, half beef burger
no
at
way.
10 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And they have like 101 beers on tap or something. But, yeah, Sundays, like, there was football and I don't know. People were...
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever, I work the brunch shift. So similar as like the internship thing, I'm there until like 10 a.m. I'm supposed to be at my brunch shift at like 10:30, whatever. I take an Uber straight to work. I don't have my work clothes. goes, I have like, I remember sunscreen leaking out of my asshole when I get to the place. And then like, you know, I texted a girlfriend and I like told her to like cover for me for my, you know, set up my tables and all that stuff. Get in the nick of time. I'm like immediately walking to the door and greet my first table or whatever.
Oh my
God.
And
then I'm just like on it. You know, at that time, I'm just like, damn, I'm like fucking so bad. You know, like I'm like, damn, you know, like no one has no idea what I was up to. I made it. Like I got my tables covered. Everything worked out perfectly. And the girlfriend was like, I bet you had a crazy night. And I was like, there's sunscreen leaking out of my, I'm like, SPF is dripping down my legs, honey.
That is amazing.
But after that, God, I feel like I'm just like talking a thousand miles.
No, you're giving a chronological.
So that happened. And once I came down from the high of meth, you know, I hit like an insane low. And I wasn't a daily smoker. It was just like, so when I would come down, like after that, it just, oh my God. Like
the depression.
So I would have illogical, like suicidal thoughts because I was so low and so depleted.
Yeah.
A couple weeks later, I'm at work and like I had gotten checked for STIs or whatever, and I got a call from work and they're like, "Hey Matt, like you need to come into the doctor immediately." Like, and I asked them, I was like, "What's going on?" And they're like, "We can't talk about it over the phone." And I was like, okay. And then I called. I'm freaking out, and I assume that I have HIV.
Oh,
and I call them back, and I'm like, you guys need to tell me. And they're like, she kept saying, legally, I can't tell you. And I'm like, legally, I can't kill you, but like, I'll fucking come in there and slit your throat. Like, tell me what it is. And she goes, okay, like, I have to let you know that you tested positive for syphilis. And I'm like, Jesus, you know, I'll get a shot of penicillin. Like, this is not, like, you know, I'm losing my mind. I mean, straight people freak out over syphilis, but it's literally, like, it's a shot in the ass, and then you're fine a week later.
Yeah.
So, whatever, that I got syphilis from that whole situation. And, like, that, I think the combination of, like, the depression.
Got off easy.
The combination of the depression from that and then, like, having that HIV scare for, like, a full day and just sort of pacing back and forth. From that, I promised myself that night, that day, and I called my best friend from Christian college, and I told him, like, I'm going to not drink for a month, and I'm never going to smoke meth again. And I think I didn't drink for probably a week. but, yeah, I never touched meth again.
Really?
That's good.
That's great.
That's really good.
And it was a huge thing that kept me out of the rooms because I would always reference that in my brain. Yeah. I was like, well, I never went back to meth, so maybe I'm not actually an addict, you know?
But you had a terrible drinking problem, right?
Yeah, drinking, and I couldn't... I honestly, it's so embarrassing, but, like, weed is, like, my big thing.
Yeah.
Like, weed took me out every time. I would get some time, and then...
There's a lot of people like that.
But it's the trickiest one, too, because it's so socially acceptable.
Yeah, well, that was what would take me out, you know? And I'm, like, a junkie, tweaker, fucking... drunk, but
same.
What takes me out is
dude,
like a little
so many
bit of
people,
ganja.
So many people think that everybody's like, well, I can probably smoke. I've thought that, and I hate weed.
Yeah,
I love weed. I had a Roar Bong. I had a fucking a Chillum. I had the fucking a bubbler. I had the blunts and the joints.
I mean,
and
dude, you're a true fucking trash can, though. Yeah. There's nobody has ever brought up a drug on here that you didn't like.
That's true. That's absolutely
true. I love
true.
That. Yeah. He loves everything.
Salvia. I hate salvia. That's the one drug I fucking hate.
Is that fake weed shit or whatever?
Oh, yeah. It's fucking.
Oh, that
so that's the only
bizarre.
Drug that I can't stand. Everything else. Yeah.
I love to disassociate.
Yeah.
And weed does that for me on such a like strong like if I smoke weed my day is over,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it gives me the freedom to no longer have to do work,
mm-hmm.
because in my mind it's like you've disassociated now, and so now you're not allowed to be stressed about doing work because you smoked weed. If that makes
that's
sense.
That's like a really strong muscle to be able to work in your mind, though. Like I mean, in my opinion, I'm always like a stress case. It always feels like I got shit going on. I got shit to be accountable for. And that's how weed used to ruin me. Like, I would have a good long run of hard street drugs going, like 4 or 5 days, you know? And I would fuck around and smoke some weed. And oh my God, it would just fucking flatten me. And no matter how much more hard drugs I could, I'd start panicking and super paranoid. And what the fuck is going on with me in my life right now? I'd feel like 14 again.
That's
you
me
know?
Too.
And I'm like in this hotel or this house with this fat dude, and like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck is going on with? It's just
I'm so glad you got away from that. The meth, like, you know, because I'm older than all you guys, but like, I was doing meth in the early 90s, but it's like, it's before it got really out of our area, like where Reno and
late
I are 80s,
from. Early 90s. Yeah,
it didn't really hit the gay scene until like the 90s, but like, it like. That shit is live. Like the stories you're telling, like that shit is terrifying. Like,
there's so many.
The darkest shit I've ever seen is like always meth.
You know,
shit.
I was listening to Chris's podcast the other day, and he said something about how it's just such a drug of the flesh, and it like removes your ability to really give a fuck about, to emotionally connect with anything. Like, you don't really, there's no right, wrong, whatever. You're just like in it for the thrill, like you like to say. You're just in it for the thrill. And I was going to ask you that. When you're bopping around from house to house to house, it's kind of exciting, right?
You're a little reckless,
kind of exciting, you know?
I mean, I think in my life in general, I've always felt like a field reporter in a sense. Like, I'm going into these situations as if, like, one day I'm going to, like, report. As if one day there's someone that I'm going to bring all this information to and be like, this happened here and this happened here. And, like, I got to experience this and this and this and this. Like, it's like I'm collecting it, but it's not even for myself. It's like I'm trying to collect this information for someone. And I don't know what that is, but it, like, it's like curiosity killed the cat with me. Like, I have to know what's going on. There have been times where I've gone to orgies, I'm not horny at all. It's just I want to see what's going on there and if I'm going to miss like a good story. I'm like, what is
no way?
What, yeah, what is that? You know, I actually can't talk about that on pod. I'll talk about it later. But
oh, because now we're in like sober orgy territory.
We're in married guys.
Oh shit.
But like even that situation, I like wasn't even horny, but I'm like, this is interesting.
You're like Reno. Over there fully clothed. You're like, no, I'm good. Just with a bowl of popcorn. I'm good. Go ahead, fellas.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we got homies like, I won't mention any names, but we got a homie that was like, that would go to these like big, like he would pay big money to go to these like weird Hollywood orgy fucking things, you know, like.
Read an article on Sanctum or whatever this shit was called.
I'll tell you. But he would like go to like, you'd be like, oh yeah, if you want to come, it's like $2,000. I'm like, what? Like, no, I don't have $2,000 to go, you know? I bargain with fucking street prostitutes to pay them less money than $200. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you know, it's $2,000 entry. And then like, I'm like, so you pay for what? And like, people are just walking around and you could just like jump in on whoever. It's like these big Hollywood swinger orgy fucking things, you know? And everybody there gets tested and it's safe. And well, you come in, you know, and it's like that whole thing. But it's like, that's crazy, you know? Motherfuckers that got money don't like...
Dude, one of my friends, he used to be in the rooms, he's not anymore, and I don't think he's on his own journey, but he got a very big role in like a huge network show, and it kind of just like, he basically within 6 months, he went from being like on my level to like hanging out with like, you know, like Tyler, just like huge names, you know, and like people, very big people. But he got very into like this meth orgy scene.
Oh shit.
And he's doing it with like these huge
Tyler
execs.
Perry?
No, not, not, I don't even know why I said Tyler Perry. I think he's met him, just like someone very famous. But he's like with all these huge Hollywood execs and like, it was so funny because I was like, wait, was this guy here? Because I know a dude who like is a huge, he owns a huge company and like And like, sure enough, he was like, oh my God, he was in this one room. And I was like, what was going on in that room? But basically, he was staying at this house, like, you know, there's everything you could want. There's a bowl of everything that you could want at any time. They'll call for anything. It's a huge mansion and they just like take over. But there was a room that they had. A big thing with like meth now is like, God, this is Lawrence territory, but like jerking off on video. And these guys, like, do you know, I don't know why you're looking at Danny, but
yes,
people know, yeah. love to, like, do it on, like, webcam.
Okay.
And so there was a room where, like, there was a massive TV, and he said that there were, like 100 little, like, 100 little video screens. And
like
there
a Zoom AA meeting, but people just jacking off.
Yes, and they're all smoking meth together and jacking off.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, like, this dude who we both know was a mutual friend, where I was like, wait, was that guy there? And he was like, yeah, dude, he was in this room. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, so
it's wild.
So he's, like, shooting up meth, and, like, you know, they're all he's like, when you talk about like depravity or like how like soulless it is, he's going to a mansion with a ton of people to go into a room by himself to look at a TV of people who are across the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a very, you know, it's very like,
it's like Eyes Wide Shut. Shit.
Yeah. That's like, it's like Black Mirror. Yeah, like Black you're Mirror going to a party in the hills to be in a room so that you can look on the computer.
Yeah.
He might as well be in like a storage unit, you know,
which is where it ends a lot of times.
Yeah,
that's exactly where it ends most times, is a fucking storage unit. I had a storage unit for all my like work stuff when we lived in Los Feliz, and I was there getting all my stuff out the very end of the when we were moving up to La Crescenta, and they had these like. They're like giant oversized like lockers almost, you know, like the smallest kind of type storage unit. And there was a dude pulled in there in like a Tesla that had like a crunched fender. And like, you know what I mean? Like he was just like on the first stages of like going into the streets, and he just had this locker open. He was just digging through bags. And he had like, you know, like he had his hair kind of dyed and cut. He looked like he was a gay guy. And like he was fit, kind of, and he just had his glasses on, sweating, and just digging through bags. And it's like, it's so fucking sad. You see people all over this town, literally like bent in half, digging through bags in the street, you know? It's just fucking brutal. It starts there where you're talking about the mansion. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm an A-list actor. Like, these guys can party for like 36 hours and just put it down and fucking anything you want's on the table. But if you are one of us and you can't switch that off,
yeah,
it fucking ends. I mean, I've chased it all the way down the fucking drain.
Yeah, I mean, I had another friend who was in a similar situation, and within 6 months, he was asking me for money because he couldn't pay his rent.
Yeah, you know? Really?
It's like spent millions of dollars within like a few months.
No way.
Yeah, on prostitutes and drugs.
Yeah,
and just like, and most of it, I think, was giving these guys all money, like all of the prostitutes, because he would just like throw money at them.
Yeah, he'd just be trying to be the man,
pay
yeah,
their rent yeah. so they feel indebted, whatever,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
But like
a gnarly situation.
So you can get it all and lose it all real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Where speaking of losing it all real quick, where did it end for you? Where was the end of, you know, the end of, one might say, the party?
I will get a year of sobriety in six days.
Woo!
And, knock on wood. But last July 4th, I knew like 2 weeks before I got sober, like I was going to do it. And so for some reason I decided July 4th was going to be like my last hurrah. But it was like a pool party at this dude's house, and it was like a naked bear pool party. And I didn't know it was going to be like that, but I wasn't upset. But like, it was literally like a ton of like, these guys were big guys. A lot of them, you can't even see their penises because of the belly. This is a reoccurring theme in my life. I drank 14 White Claws in like an hour, and then I was like in the pool butt naked, and then the host of the party, I'd never done 2CB before. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that is?
Oh yeah.
I'd never
What's
even
2CB.
I'd never even heard it's, of
it's
it.
Like a, yeah, it's like a research chemical. Jude, yeah. That's like Jude. Yeah, Two Tone's done it before. Ask the Two Tone about it.
I never heard of it.
2CE. There's 2CB, 2CE, 2CI. There's like they're all these fucking. You would order them on the dark web.
They're
like
it synthetic was, drugs.
Yeah, it's
or
like synthetic. It's like an acid ecstasy.
I never even heard of it. Yeah. So I'm sitting in the hot tub and this guy was like, "We should do 2CB." And I made some dumb like CB2 furniture joke, and like, "Oh yeah, I need a new side table." But he explains it to me. He's like, "It's like Molly without the come down." And I was like, "That sounds
yes, please."
I was like, "That sounds amazing, right?" And so I do a line of it, and like everyone else does a line of it, and then of course, like he's like, "Okay, that's it. Like, you know, we'll go back." And I was like, "I don't feel it. I should do another line." He's like, "You should wait a minute." And then he's like, "Okay, we'll all do another line." And so he puts out like a bunch on his like he dumps like a huge mountain on his hand, and then someone was like. We were all going to like scoop straws out of it. And I like accidentally went down and snorted all of it.
Oh,
and it was
shit.
Like
no
supposed
way.
To be for everyone. And I was like, "Oh, I didn't mean to do, you know, I knew exactly what I was doing, but I wanted to be high at that second."
Yeah.
And I went into like a huge K-hole. That's what I can explain.
Yeah.
That. Have you been in a K-hole?
Yeah, I have, yes.
K is my favorite drug. That's a whole nother thing. But I went into, I completely spaced out, like was on a different planet. And it's so wild that he described it as Molly without a come down. Everyone I've talked to since has been like, "No, CB2 is like a like psychedelic. Like you have like a really like it's a
CB2 is the furniture store.
Two CB. Oh, okay. Two CB. It's like a disassociative. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's more in the psychedelic realm than just like an upper. So I had no idea about that, but I was completely spaced out. I found out the next day that like a guy jerked me off while I was like passed out, which I thought was funny. And then someone was like, "That's assault, and you should Me Too him or whatever." Anyways, so and I had like some other friends there who were one of them, my friends.
Like, how many people were at the party?
100.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
But it was just me and the owner and like 6 other guys who went in the house, and we all did 2CB together, and they all got back in the pool, but I was like gone. And then I ended up throwing up in his bushes, and I threw up by the pool, and I threw up. They eventually got me to the bathroom. And like, you know, this is the 4th of July. It's like barely 8 p.m. at this point. And a friend brings me home, and yeah, like that, like literally in my mind, I was just like, that was, wow. I was like, wow, that was it. Like, I don't even get to like, I didn't even enjoy the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next day I was like, I knew that this shit worked because I had done it before in the past, and like it worked for me, and that's why I went out, because it like fixed me, you know? But this time coming back, dude, I was in the biggest, like, like when I got sober in the past, it was like, wow, I'm so glad to be here. I can't believe like I made it here. Like everyone's so great. This time it was like, I was fucking like, I understand that thing, the gift of desperation. Cause I was like, I am so miserable and so depressed. And like, I don't want to be here, but I have to, because I forfeited my last, like that was my last hurrah. Like I fucked it up. And it was 4 months of feeling, I felt I had no joy for 4 months, and I like just kept praying that I would like see some light at the end of the tunnel. And then one day it was like, it wasn't just like a small light. One day I was just like, oh, I don't feel bad anymore.
Yeah.
It like just happened.
It's heavy how you get drained out of all your dopamine, and you know, that late on top of that, the guilt and shame of all the shit you've been doing, and like, you know, it could really wring you out.
Yeah.
It's challenging.
I didn't, it hadn't happened like this in the past, but like, God, I was so relieved to be out of that space. And yeah, I knew it worked, but like this time it fucking sucked.
Have you ever smoked PCP?
No.
He's all, but I smoked 2CB.
No, and I meant to boof a bunch of stuff every time I was going to go out. That was
boof, did he say?
Yeah, I was so excited to, like, every time I was sober, I was like, if I ever go out again, I'm putting everything in my ass.
Did you ever?
No, I always forgot to. And then when I would get sober again, I would be like, damn it, I didn't boof. And, like, I meant to, like, set, like, a reminder on my phone, like, if you boof. Start doing... I just remember because girls at my sister's high school would get expelled because they would, in between classes, they would put vodka-soaked tampons in their vaginas. And then they would go to class and be fucked up. And they would all get these horrible infections, too.
Oh, like, no way.
Dries out your... But I was like, damn, I should do that in my ass, you know?
Tampon.
That was the thing. Yeah, I knew this Australian dude who was an actor growing up. And he was kind of like... He was cool. We all hung out with him.
Chris,
he always like...
Chris Hemsworth.
He always had all these like hot girls around him. And he drove a cool car. And he was like super fun. And we were partying one day. We were at like some Hollywood Hills pool party, you know? And he goes, hey, mate, you want a pinga? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, do a pinga. You know, I was like, what are you fucking saying? You know, he's like, a pinga, a fucking pinga. And I was like, what's a pinga? He goes, a pinga. He's like, not a pinga, a pinga. I was like, what the fuck are you saying? He's like, you know, a pinga. What he was saying was a ping-er. And a pinger is when you basically, you like lick your finger and you shove it into a bag of Molly and you fucking shove it up your ass, you know?
Damn.
And I saw him doing it and I thought he was cool. And I was like, well, I mean, fuck it. Apparently we're doing fucking... When he was like, no, mate. He's like, you don't do it to yourself. You have a hot chick do it to you, you know. And then it's cool. He's like, it's not gay because you have a hot chick do it. And I was like, all right, but I didn't have a hot chick that was gonna do it for me, and I didn't want to have FOMO.
So he did it.
No, that would have been great. No, I was like, fuck it, I'll try it out, you know. But apparently, when you do it, you gotta like get in there, you know.
You can't just get around the rim.
Yeah.
No.
So I got a little, you know, I don't know. I like freak out about shit getting a little too, you know, like I still think this, you know, like this is a delusion. As I still think, if something goes far enough up my ass, it's gonna turn me gay, you know. So I don't want to get, that far
that
up there.
So
you know?
Funny. It's funny because I had like a best friend growing up, and he was from North Carolina. He's from North Carolina, but we grew up in Indonesia. Together, his parents were also missionaries, and it's one of those friends where like we won't talk for like 5-10 years, and then we'll talk on the phone, and it's like we haven't missed a beat, you know, because we have this very unique life experience. We've known each other since we were 5 years old, and like it's just we're bonded for life. But long story short, like we catch up, it's been like 10 years. I'm telling him about like getting sober and like whatever, all that stuff, and doing a bunch of coke. And he's like, man, I've only done coke one time. And I was like, oh, what was your experience like? And him and his buddies, they all took like, they used a pen, you know, like took out the like pen, and they all were blowing coke into each other's assholes when they were like in China or something. And I was just like, I'm just like, that's so funny that like, you know, I've never done that one time. And the one time you did coke, you and four guys, and they're all like deathly, like they're all like Trump voters, straight, whatever. And they're all blowing coke through like pens into each other's asses.
No party. Way.
Wow. I saw Allie and I a few years ago went on a rave cruise. She performed on it. And I was like, fuck. I was like, hey, that sounds fun. She's like, oh, let me see if I can get if I can get you like an extra ticket, you know, for the thing. So we went on it and we were like hanging out with all these dudes who were partying, and they had girls. Like we walked in. There was a day when we walked into like a room and they're like literally sitting there, their assholes fucking spread. And there's like a stripper girl blowing either Molly or cocaine up their assholes, you know? And like we're, you know, however many years sober at this point, we're like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
how it was explained to me is that the lining of your butt, inside your butt, up past your butthole, is like all like membrane that goes right into your bloodstream.
Yeah,
really totally. Rapidly.
Don't be like, talking about how it was told to me. It's experience based with you, fool.
Well, that was going to be my
ask me with that shit.
That was going to be my next step in the conversation. So when I opened the gates to those experiences, no, because I mean you're right away like
how
Danny
it was
said,
explained to me when I woke up from it. This is what they did.
Well, yeah, right. You know, same reaction initially with Danny, but then someone's like, you know, you've fucking been snorting the shit and smoking the shit and all this stuff for so goddamn long. Oh, let's try this a different way. And it hits you a different fucking way.
How'd you get it up there?
Don't
want to talk about it?
No.
Look at him. Making shit up.
Oh, no. I'm not
pool
making
noodle?
Nothing up. I'm pulling no punches on this
That's
show.
That's true.
Was a syringe with no needle on it.
Kind of like
what you do with medicine for like a dog or in your, for a kid when you give a kid medicine. You know, it's like you just get it up in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
The more you know.
And that shit comes on quick. You feel like you're on acid.
Crank? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, whoa, shit. But you feel like all of a sudden you feel like you're on a boat.
Nah.
Like, what the fuck?
Wow. And then you realize you are on a boat and Ally McCoskey is performing.
What? Have you ever seen a ghost?
Have I ever seen a ghost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. No, but there's a lot of like demon possession stuff in Indonesia that like took place.
Ooh. Like, can you tell us one of those stories?
Yeah. It's so weird. Like, people always say like there's so much it's blast from the past. There's so much like spiritual warfare that takes place in Indonesia. And, like, the spirit world is just like a part of like everyday like culture and conversation. If you are sick, everyone says like, oh, masuk angin, and it's like you like masuk means enter, and like angin is like a spirit, and it's like, oh, like a spirit entered you, like that's why you're sick.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Masuk angin or whatever. So it's just like kind of embedded in the culture, but like weird things would happen there. And I remember someone explaining it to me where like they would basically say, like, in the West, they're like, why does this stuff happen here, but it doesn't happen, like, in Western culture? And it was like, in Western culture, people are so distracted with money that they don't need spirits to keep them away from God. Like, they have capitalism. So then in these poor places, it's like, because money isn't an issue and people are actually genuinely more happy because they're, like, communal living, then there's, like, literally, like, demons and shit that, like, interfere in people's lives. But I remember being on
that's
like
fucking
a
heavy.
I thought it was like, yeah, it was an interesting explanation. It's weird. It's so, like, I have to go back to Indonesia to do like a full like hero's journey home thing, because yeah, like now, like, you know, I'm out and I'm an adult and I'm no longer am like identify as like a born again Christian, and I feel like I'm a little more like my heart is softer and I'm like more open minded to stuff. Because back then it was all this lens through like only Jesus can save us from demons. But I remember being on like a small island for a mission trip. There were probably like 400 people on this island, and like, you know, the generator goes off at 8 p.m. and that's like the light for everyone or
really?
Whatever. So we were there and it was like a wedding that took place, and the bride, like, after we're all like celebrating and something, and the bride of the wedding, she like became very angry and she started picking up stuff and throwing shit, and then she started attacking the groom, and she was like insanely strong, and it was like basically everyone was like, she's possessed with a demon right now, and she was like saying things that were like incomprehensible, and they ended up holding her down. And people started praying over her, and then like someone, like, you know, we started praying over her as well, and she started projectile vomiting.
Whoa.
And then she like came to, and it's like, it's so weird because like when I watched, have you ever seen Paranormal Activity?
Yeah.
No, but I've seen The Exorcist.
Right. When I saw The Exorcist for the first time maybe 5 years ago, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, because I've seen stuff like that. And Paranormal Activity, that, like, I think it's been so long since I saw it. I saw it in theaters, but it was almost like watching a, you know, the I guess the reason it was so popular is because it, like, was documentary style. But I was like, that is very much how things happen.
Really?
Because in that thing, I remember, didn't they read something, or, like, they found something in the attic or whatever, mm-hmm. and they, like, basically invited a demon into their mm-hmm. space. And then, like, stuff starts happening, and, like, you'll see, like, a figure, and, like, sheets will get pulled off the bed. Like, shit like that happened, like, very, like, not, like, infrequently. Like, we would hear stories like that all the time.
Whoa.
So when I watched Paranormal Activity, I remember thinking, like, this isn't funny. Like, why are people watching this as entertainment? Like, this is really fucking,
that's
like
how I felt about The Exorcist.
But it wasn't, like, I was like, oh, this is, like, I was like, this is really how it happens. Like, how do they?
So you literally saw this one. Projectile vomiting, like expelling this demon, like right in front of you guys.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's
and
gnarly.
There's so many stories like that, but a lot of the times it ended up like after you would pray for these people, they would end up throwing up. And like I remember one time this guy was like, he was so deathly sick, and it turned out like he had been like cheating on his wife. And he, when he admitted that, he started vomiting and he became like better.
Whoa.
But it, there's just like such a weird metaphysical thing to it all.
Wow.
And I just like, I'm curious to see this stuff because my time in Indonesia feels like a dream. It feels like it was a fever dream. You know, I haven't been back one time. I was in this conservative Christian culture in the largest Muslim country in the world.
Are you still Christian?
No. I don't think so. Okay. I mean, the thing is, sure, like a lot of people identify as Christian, but in my mind, in the sect that I was in, true Christians believe that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that, then like you are not a real Christian.
Got it. I understand.
And so I could nominally be a Christian, just like a lot of people are nominally Jewish, but they don't really practice stuff.
Right.
Because I identify a lot with Christian culture, but like I. Gun to head, I don't know that Jesus is God. I'm open to that idea. I'm open to a lot of things, but like gun to head, I wouldn't say yes.
Right, right.
Sure.
That's interesting.
But the God, there was I wasn't here for this story, but I had friends who were there for this, and I always wondered about it. And this is the stuff that brings me back to like I don't know, just like the power of prayer and like why. It really makes me question a lot of stuff, but my friends went on a mission trip to a small island, and there was a girl there who was paraplegic. She couldn't walk. And her family asked, my friends were staying with this family, and they asked them to pray. My friends asked if they could pray for the girl in the name of Jesus. And they were like, sure, like do whatever you want. They pray for this girl and she starts walking.
No way.
What the fuck?
And the entire family converts to
Christianity.
Like, yeah, or like what was controversial, what we were doing back then, there were like two parties of missionaries, but like they could remain Muslim and they were I can't remember the term for it. Basically, they like accepted Jesus as God, but like because they didn't want to give up their culture. So it was like they still identify as Muslim, but they believe that Isa al-Masih is God.
Somebody was just telling me about this. Somebody was just telling me that there's like big communities. I forget where it was. That there's like that maybe in somebody was just telling me about maybe in Turkey that there's these big communities where it's like because it's like. Turkey's was a primary because it was like
it's Muslim.
It's Muslim, but it was Christian, you know. So like you go when you go to the Blue Mosque, it was a Christian. Like it's like it's a Christian fucking monastery that was now been that's now
that's so
and everything is it's covered up. Like you could still see the like you could still see Jesus like peeking out the cut, you know. Like but it's like painted over. It's so trippy.
I mean, Jesus is a big part. Well, not a big part. He's a prophet that's in the Quran, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he's just one of many prophets.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting. Like, born again Muslims. That's what they would be called. Mm. Like, they were born again Jews too.
Have you read the Quran?
No, I should.
No, I haven't either. I'm just kind of amazed. I'm just
Camille,
like
Camille read it
by
when
it.
She was Camille when she was like trying to kick dope like when she was younger. She was like, she's like, this was gonna save me. I'm gonna read the Quran, you know. She was she tried it.
She's like she'd go to the connection session. She's like, assalamualaikum.
Literally, like you know, literally, yeah.
So there was a big divide. I don't know if this stuff is even interesting. There was a big divide in the missionary community in Indonesia, and like it was so hard for me to understand what was going on when I was younger. Because half of my friend's parents became Muslim. They were Christian missionaries, but basically what they did was they were like, it was their style of being a missionary, and it was a huge like upset in like the congregation out there. But basically they were saying like, we now are going to identify as born again Muslims.
No way.
Because our mission is like, if the core of getting to heaven is accepting Jesus as God, then like forget about all the cultural, like the nominally Christian, forget about all that bullshit, because that's getting in the way of Muslim people going to heaven. So like they started dressing with head coverings and like would wear like all traditional garb, and they started going to the mosque and praying at the mosque, but they were born again Muslims, and that's how they were like they were telling other Muslims like Jesus is God and you can stay a Muslim and just believe Jesus is God.
Oh, so they were up in the cut trying to convert people on the DL kind of like thing.
It's almost like a covert operation.
Undercover, oh, wow. Undercover Muslims. Yeah.
But
people
they converted
really take that, that missionary stuff so heavy and serious, man.
So it was like my friends and like then they their families were no longer allowed to come to the church that we all went to.
No way.
Yeah, like yeah, one of my friend's mom who like everyone was like, she's a bitch. But she like went to the bathroom and she was like, we do not agree with this style. And so like they like had I could not understand what was going on. I was like, wait, I thought I was like, damn, did they win? Like the Christians came to convert the Muslims, but now
Muslims overtook them.
Now the missionaries
you're
are
like
Muslim.
This is like Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, totally.
It's a trip, you know. I wasn't until I went and visited Turkey like 2 years ago. I'd never been.
Oh, you've been?
Yeah, I've never been to like a Muslim country. You know, like the call to prayer. It's so cool. Like the
in the morning,
so,
right? It's like all
five times a day. Yeah. So and then everybody goes to pray. It's so,
so weird.
Cool.
You it becomes. I don't know. I don't know if you got used to it, but like I didn't even hear it anymore. Like you know, I go to sleep and it'd be screaming on the speakers, and it's like I would sleep right through it.
Oh.
But it makes me, I feel at home when I hear it, which is really
wild. That's so wild, man.
Yeah, dude, I got to go back. Let's
go
to Indonesia.
For sure. I want to come with you. My sister lived in Jakarta when she was like in her 20s. She went out there to work and she like worked for my mom worked for this like big jewelry reseller and they had like a station in Jakarta. So she was there for a while.
Whenever we would go to Jakarta for like passports and shit like that, it's the capital. Mm. We would always go to Burger King and what's the donut place called?
Yum Yum Donuts?
Krispy Kreme.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
It was a big deal. They got Krispy Kreme donuts. And so, like, one of our teachers who is American was like, let's do a field trip to a museum in Jakarta so that we can all go to Krispy Kreme, basically.
Krispy Kreme's the bomb.
Yeah. All right, should we wrap this up, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, do you got anything coming up that you want to plug? Hold on a sec.
Not really. Yeah, nothing off the top of my head. I like kind of put comedy on the back burner when I got sober. And I'm a little, it's like I'm coming up on my 1 year and I told myself I would really put myself back out there after that. And kind of like it's kind of scary for me, honestly. But I'm just trusting that things will all come together, you know?
Yeah. You got a trip coming up back to the motherland.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm plugging that. Yeah, donate to my GoFundMe so I can, like, heal as a human. Yeah. Right.
Fuck, yes.
Yeah, I have some shows in the next week or so, but they're going to be over by the time this podcast comes out.
Cool. Well, if we got, when we put it, we'll put some stuff in the links. And, man, thank you so much for coming on. That was
rad. Dude, that was awesome.
Oh, thanks for having me. You guys are the best.
Yeah. Right on, Matt.
Matt the Big.
All right.
Yeah.
Boop
thank
you,
later. You. Yeah. Thank you guys for thank you guys for listening. Follow us. It is all bad on Instagram. We got the Patreon packages going out. We're getting sizes and getting stuff going, and we will be sending some sick ass swag to all the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
And we got some new merch stuff getting printed up and some stuff coming down the pipeline. So thank you guys for listening. Check us out and tell a friend. Peace.
Bye-bye.